You know, in the Bible, there's that beautiful story in the Old Testament where King Saul was feeling afflicted and tormented in his soul, and he would call David, and David would play on the harp, and the Bible says that it would soothe his soul, it would quiet his soul. Prophets would call musical artists, minstrels, to play, and when they would play, the Spirit of God would come and prophecy would come. It's an old device to create an atmosphere for hearing God. And one of the things that I love about this church is our commitment to sing together, to be together. And I think sometimes it can feel strange maybe to do that at a members meeting, you know, because we sometimes come from traditions where we equate a member meeting with like a business meeting or something like that. And I just want to say that if throughout history music has been known to soothe the soul and to create space for the presence of God to come, I can't think of a time in our history where we need that more from the Lord right now. There's so much uncertainty all around us in our personal lives, in our world. And I just want to encourage you to be a person who sings songs to God. And I say that as someone who cannot carry a note in a barrel. That's why I sit on the front row, because I don't want to distract people in front of me because I'm so bad at singing. And I just take that whole make a joyful noise thing to heart and say, Lord, we're gonna make noise together. And so I'm just so thankful for God's presence. And I'm thankful for the long stories that the Lord tells. Thank you guys for being here tonight. We suspected that this would likely be a smaller member meeting. And so we're really grateful that you're here, that you came out on short notice. And we're going to tell you some really important things that you're aware of some, and some of it you're not aware of. And so thank you for being here. It means so much to me. In short, there are three big changes happening on our staff. Ashley Matthews, when she comes back from her maternity leave in the summertime, is going to move out of the East Side Parish Leadership and into the education pastor role here at Trinity Macro, not just one location. Matthew Brown is going to move into Ashley's space as East Side Parish Pastor. And Tripp is going to move out of the education pastor role and into the church planter in residence role and assume the space that Matthew was in before this discernment that we're going to tell you about tonight commenced a number of months ago. So that's the big story. And I'm just going to tell you, those three are going to get up here and they're going to tell you that story better than I could ever tell you that story. And so I'm going to let dialed in men and women tell you what I think you really need to hear from each of the three of them. But before we do, I want to talk about a little bit about our story and about the three of them, because they won't ever talk about themselves the way that I would like to talk about these three people. When we planted this church 15 some odd years ago in 2003, we didn't know what we were doing. I was 26 years old. Yoder was slightly younger than that. Marty was slightly older than 26 years old, but we were all right there in the ballpark together. And I had never read a book about church planting, actually, until I started a doctoral program a few years ago at Asbury Seminary focusing on church planting. And so we literally had no idea what we were doing. Our goal when we planted this church was to plant a church that we would all want to attend. And that felt like a pretty high bar, because we'd all been at and worked at churches where we didn't necessarily want to attend that place. We had to. And so we started Trinity. And very early on in our story, we had this sense that God wanted us to not only be in a church to start one, but to be a part of the generation of new church plants, new works. And yet we didn't know how to do that. It felt in some ways for us like we kind of accidentally caught lightning in a bottle when we planted this church 15 years ago. We were in the right place at the right time. There weren't tons of churches in the city center, and it just kind of happened. And so we thought, how do you replicate that? And so early in the life of our church, we planted a number of churches. And I will say this is not a reflection on those churches. We didn't know what we were doing in training and releasing and trying to create a culture of church planting. We were just kind of doing it as we stumbled in and stumbled along. And some of those churches flourished and some of them didn't flourish. And that was just the story at Trinity. I remember a number of years ago, Ashley Matthews walked into my office. She emailed me and said, I want to have a meeting with you, Chris. And I had no idea who she was. And she came in and she said, my husband and I have been kind of moonlighting here. I work at another church and we attend this church. And I got to go because I'm finishing seminary and I've got to do an internship. And there's a church in Decatur that's going to give me an internship. And so I just wanted to say like hello and goodbye. And I looked at this woman. We'd never had an internship program. And I was like, what if we had an internship program? I just had this sense about this lady that we all love. Everybody who knows Ashley loves her. And I just had this sense in meeting her. And she was like, well, that could work. And she walked out and I walked into Matt's office and I said, I think the Lord has brought us an answer to a prayer that we have prayed but maybe never been brave enough to say out loud, which is to send a mega talented young woman into this church who could end up being a leader of great significance. But we didn't tell her that. Didn't want it to go to her head. She was just a seminary student. So she came on and she interned and then we offered her a part-time job and she did that so faithfully and was so good at education specifically. And then that part-time job became a full-time job. And then we said, maybe you should be a senior leader in this church. And we invited her into discerning whether she would be a senior leader. And her voice has always been crystal clear. And I just want to tell you guys, you hear her up on stages like this. But Ashley's voice on our senior leadership team, in my opinion, is more weighty and more valuable than anything you would ever hear in front of hundreds of people. She brings a sense of wisdom, a sense of intuition, a sense of courage, a kind of like pure desire to see God's best for this place. She holds on to that. For us as a leadership team, she has always carried this massively important voice on our team. I remember 4 years ago or four and a half years ago even or so when we really began to think about the East Side, it was like God was birthing this thing and we knew that that thing, if it came to fruition, was going to cost us, that we were going to have to like break up the team, you know. And I remember it became evident to all of us pretty quickly that if any one of us was going to do it, it was going to be Ashley, that she had to do it, that this was God and what he had for her. And so she said, I'm going to do it. I'm going to plant this thing. And we, the last 4 years on the East Side have been unbelievable. I could not have dreamed of a more powerful scenario. I can say for our whole team, we could not have dreamed for this thing to be more than what it is. It's been just unbelievable under Ashley's leadership. And yet, I don't want to take away her story because she's going to tell you this. This dream and passion for education has never left this woman. And I believe that she's called as a senior leader in this church, and I believe she's called to be an educator of the Bible, a shaper of theological minds. And that dream has never left Ashley. And a lot of why we're doing this is because we want to honor a sense of calling in this woman. And I just want to say to you that in my wildest dreams, I could not imagine being surrounded by such unbelievably talented women and men who are also godly. Unbelievable. So Ashley, we knew, had this hook in her. But we weren't just going to let the East Side go. We couldn't. And I think she was determined to hold on as long as she could and as long as she needed to. And these two guys, Tripp and Matthew, the two giants over here, came back into my life really roughly around the same time. Tripp and his wife, Rachel, were a part of this church going back almost a decade ago. And I remember when Tripp went off to Vancouver to study at Regent, to go to seminary, I sat in a coffee shop down the road a decade ago and said, if you go, just be open to coming back one day. And his journeys took him to Florida and then took him to Texas. And we reconnected when his wife was back here at a service. And I saw Rachel and was like, Rachel. And then Tripp and I start talking on the phone. And I sensed immediately God was up to something with this guy, that God might be bringing him home. His family, her family are from here. Around the same time, I reconnected with this guy, Matthew. He had been in this church to meet with me briefly a number of years ago. And he was working at another church. And then around that time, he and his family came back into this church. And we started having regular conversations. And I sensed God was up to something with this guy. One of the deepest desires that we have at Trinity is to be a place that is attractive to really talented and godly people. I've always prayed that the Lord would send men and women here that would go out and do things, big things for God and His kingdom. And so over the last year or so, we've had this idea turning that involves Ashley and Matthew and Tripp. And when we asked Tripp to come, we sensed that he was only going to be here for a little time and he was going to go out and plant in our orbit. And so him coming and being an education pastor and helping us with Alpha has been an unbelievable gift, and yet not Tripp's long-term calling. He's here to plant a church. When Matthew and Ashley worked through with our leadership team this interior discernment, which I want them to tell you about, we sensed that maybe if Matthew was slotting over here, that Tripp was going to be able to step into a new space that we think is actually really exciting for our city and for what God's going to do at Trinity. We are, above all, at the end of the day, committed to the planting and the generation of new church works. I want to be bold enough to just say that I think that's the future of Trinity. I think that's what we're going to be about. I hope to, by God's grace, repopulate Atlanta with churches that are on mission and love Jesus and love their neighborhoods like crazy. And these three people are a huge part of that story and something that I think is, frankly, just has God's fingerprints all over it. And so what we want to do with you guys tonight is to give you space to hear from these three people in the hopes that you will pray for us and pray for them and specifically, but also that you would begin to carry a burden with us going forward for the generation of new church works. And maybe even tonight you get excited about one, whether that's the East Side under what Matthew's going to be doing, or maybe that's something brand new that Tripp is going to be doing. And so thank you guys for being a part of this journey with us. It's so important for us that we do this as a community where we're seeing God's hand move. Am I missing anything? Is that good? Okay. I still feel a little drunk all the time with a head injury, and so thank you for your patience with me. Ashley, you come sit in the middle to break up all the height, and then we'll let Matthew and Tripp sit on either side. And you go first, I think.
Good evening, everybody. I don't know that I know everyone in this room, maybe most of you, but those of you I have not had the opportunity yet to meet, hi, I'm Ashley. And that means likely those of you I do not know were maybe not here in 2013 or so, back when all of this started, so may not remember the days of my being an education pastor here, but what Chris says is true. There are... I was trying to think, like run through my head, the things that felt important for you all to know about this story. And I think maybe firstly, it's, clarity when it comes to like what we're supposed to do in life doesn't find us very often, you know. And I know that. It's been true for me, and it's true for most everyone I know. And so when you do have a sense of clarity about something, that like you sense maybe this is something I'm meant to do or supposed to do, that's probably not something you ought to take lightly, you know? And that's what education, like specifically teaching the Bible, has always been for me since I was a kid. That kind of like what I felt like I knew that I was made to do. And not just to teach the Bible, that feels like a not altogether true way of saying it, really to love the Bible myself, to cultivate a love for Scripture, and to help people around me also come not just to know it, but to love it. And that has been something that I have kind of like followed for most of my life, that desire and that sense of calling. And I think and know with all my heart that it ultimately led me here to Trinity. And so when I was handed that job, it felt like being given, you know, like, ah, oh, like since I was a kid, you know, this is the thing kind of like that the Lord had in mind all along. And I did that for a couple of years and it, enjoyed it as much as I thought that I would. And then we started talking about the East Side, and it was one of those things where it was like, well, all right, this also feels like the thing I'm supposed to do. And so you just sort of like go with your gut and smart people and trust that it's going to work out. And it has been like the dream I didn't know to have, you know what I mean? The thing that I really loved more than I ever thought that I would ever love anything or could have anticipated. And yet you would think that with that love that maybe it just might kind of replace the other thing. And that hasn't been the case. This like desire to see in the church specifically. And here's what I want you to hear me say is that what happens on Sundays for our sermon time is really important. You can have phenomenal preachers, though, preaching phenomenal sermons on Sunday and never grow as a Christian because it's not ultimately enough and it's not meant to be enough to sustain you as a believing person. Thinking about God and making space for that in your life requires like really diligent thought and study with thoughtful people who can meet with you in an extended space. And we're supposed to do that communally together, not just in isolation on our own, one by ourselves. And that space where we could come together as a church and wrestle through things and work together and put our minds to loving God, that's the space in particular that I feel really drawn to, that I want to see cultivated here at Trinity. And for those of you who have decided to call this home, who are members, and by virtue of your presence here tonight, presumably take this rather seriously, I would ask you to pray for that space in particular, not just for people who are already Christians and deeply committed ones, but especially maybe for people who, like with Alpha, I'm getting the flu or try and get over it. Need a space to ask questions and have a time with people who have thought about this stuff. So that space, which we've had always at Trinity. And yet I really want and feel the real privilege of being able to cultivate it and to watch it grow and see what God might do through it. So I'm not burnt out in doing what I'm doing. I love being a pastor and I love our church so much. I'm not looking for an easier job so that I can, raise my kids and stuff. I feel like I did what I was supposed to do in this story that God's telling, and the next chapter of it is not mine to lead. That feels like the truest thing and best way to say it. And the Lord had, all the while we had been feeling those things, been making provision for that in a way I didn't even know really how to ask or pray for, because how do you pray for your replacement to come, or who would do that, somebody that you're gonna like enough to ask to even let do that, who would want, rather than just like building their own thing, to come in and take over something. There are just so many factors that felt impossible, and then Matthew showed up, and it felt like the Lord saying, it's kind of a Job moment, I made gravity. I can probably also help you out with the east side. I could probably do both of those things. This has all been a real testament to God's provisionist faithfulness. And what we hope for, I think, most ultimately is that for you all, if we can encourage you with something, it's that God moves in our prayers. This story that he's trying to advance through our lives, which is not ultimately about Trinity or your church, but like through the world, he really cares intimately about that and is involved in it. And so we want to encourage you in that. We have seen his hand all over the place through this. So I'm going to let you talk now because I'm dead.
I'm sure this mic is sanitized. And, yeah. It's like a little germ catcher here on top. It keeps it from coming back. So what I want to try to do is paint a little bit of the picture of how we got here. And to do that, I need to go all the way back to the year 2009. Distant past. In 2009, I was on sabbatical from my church in Roswell, and someone told us about a vineyard church in the city we should go to, and I didn't really want to go to a vineyard church, but
nothing against the vineyard.
Yeah, nothing against the vineyard. It was more just like, I don't know. And then we came, and we walked in the door. Remember, we parked right here, walked in that side door, and I felt home immediately, which is very strange when you're the pastor of another church, to feel home in another church. A place that you've like planted and built and your whole family is there, and suddenly you felt like this feels like home. And And in some ways, this sounds a little melodramatic, but it's almost like I spent the next 8 years trying to figure out how to get back home. I went back to my church and loved it being there, and in the process tried to also bring many of the things about Trinity that had been so meaningful to us during that sabbatical season. Things about the calendar and lectionary, but more just the spirit of the place and the desire to be a real safe place where people could be where they actually were. To be a part of long stories and not always be trying to rush things along. And that sort of spirit of discipleship and vision of what God was up to in a person's life, even when it didn't look like that person was making the best decisions, but still believing that God was at work in that person's life, that marked me in such a profound way that when it came time for me to leave the church in Roswell, so I could finish up school, and just felt like the end of the season for us. And we got to come back here, I guess 2 years ago now, and reconnect with Chris. And at the time, just loved this place, just wanted to just be here and just sit in these seats and worship, and never really imagining anything beyond that. And but over the course of the summer, where I spent time with Chris, he told me about this chance to be a part, a resident, a fellow, and I'd never heard of what a fellow was, but I liked the way that sounded, to be a fellow, and I thought, well, maybe that would be the next right step. I don't know what to do next with my life. I'll do that. And so then it was like this dream of what it would be like to actually get to be a part of planning a church with Trinity, and that felt so exciting. And actually, Ashley, and just the story of her life and watching her as the Eastside Parish pastor was such a meaningful propellant for me in that, just pushing me like into this idea of, man, this would be, I would love to get to do that too, somewhere in the city. That would be like a dream, to get to be a part of this thing that I love, these people that I respect, and get to spread the influence of it around Atlanta would just be more than I could ask for. And over the course of those first few months as a church planter in residence, just continued confirmation from God that this was where we were supposed to be, that Trinity was our home, and that God had prepared a place for us here, and that we could continue to trust him. And really the question for us came down to, where in the world would we want to plant if we could be anywhere in Atlanta? And I remember I was talking to Ashley as part of my residency. We had regular meetings, and she said, where do you want to be in Atlanta? And I said, well, this is kind of strange, but actually we want to be in Decatur. But I said, it's off limits. And she said, and I don't know how much she was thinking at this point, but she's like, I think you should lean into that a little bit. You know, God might be up to something. And I was like, okay, that seems impossible, but okay, maybe God's up to something strange. Maybe there'll be two Trinity parishes in Decatur. That seems like a reasonable thing to do. It is a pagan place. Yeah. They need Jesus in Decatur. And I don't know, we just kind of left it there. But we did. We always have loved Decatur. We've loved Trinity. And we've loved being a part of what God was doing here. And so when they came to us in October and said, hey, crazy idea, but would you consider not planning a church in Atlanta and instead moving into this role? It felt at first like something that would be very difficult to do, because to follow after Ashley is horribly intimidating, and I mean, it's just, who would want to do that? So she's such a beloved and substantial leader and person, and not to mention incredibly talented, but just she's built this wonderful church, these people that love her and respect her, and for good reason. And it was terrifying and intimidating to imagine. But the more we leaned into it, it just felt like God had actually led us to this place. In fact, like, we could follow storylines going back years and years of how things that felt insignificant at the time, like over time, like actually took on weight and bearing, that they mattered as part of our story. And this was just one storyline that was mixed up with a whole bunch of other storylines, and not just the three people sitting here, but the other people in this room. And the more that we sort of sat into this, it just felt like God was doing something. the way I've described it a number of times, I felt like we were on a log and it was moving down a river, but it was almost so slow it was indiscernible. You couldn't tell necessarily, but one day, like, the log just came up on the bank and we were in Decatur. And we just had this sense that God had led us to this place, that this was absolutely His will and desire. And we decided to step into it. And it's, and it's been pretty great. And the thing that's been such a surprising confirmation from God for us, at least, and for Ashley and me, is, you know, we felt pretty good about it. You know, everyone on the leadership team felt pretty good about it, but we have a church of, you know, 500 plus people, and how are they going to feel about it? And the thing that's been so amazing is that they've been really excited about it, but not like in this, like, oh, thank goodness, but more like, well, man, this is really sad to lose Ashley because we love her, but we really feel like God's in this, which says so much about the character of that place, like the sort of people that gather there on the east side every Sunday, the maturity of them to be able to see and discern God's spirit in all this, that He's up to something. And if He's up to something, then we can lean into it with hope, because He must be doing something great for Decatur, something great for Atlanta, something great for Trinity, by moving Ashley into this role and Tripp into this role so that He can plant sooner, that there must be something just wonderful beyond the horizon that we can't quite see yet, but we can anticipate as being deeply good, because God is telling a good story. So that's, is there anything else I should say? No. she's still my boss, and technically. But yeah, so anyway, I guess if I want to say anything, I want to give glory to God. I feel like He has done great things and unexpected things. You know, He says a lot through the prophets, things like, I will do great things, things that you know not, things that you wouldn't even think to imagine. And that has been what we've experienced in this really small little window, and that gives us great hope. So,
okay. Hey, good evening. My name is Tripp. I have a wife, Rachel. We have three little kids. And I'm going to do something that's kind of against my natural instincts, which is to be autobiographical and to talk about myself for a few minutes. One of the things I love about Trinity is the way in which our leaders have called Trinity home often for a long time before they were in leadership. And that's true of me and my family, but for many of you, that may have not been our first introduction, because about a year ago, you may have been a member here at Trinity, and one week you didn't know who I was, and the next week I'm on staff, and we're here. And you've kind of gotten to know me either on Sundays or throughout the midweek classes or, you know, just here and there, and I've maybe not heard a bit of why I'm actually sitting here with this great group of people. And so I want to unpack that a little bit and just kind of tell you a bit of our family story, if that's okay. I'm going to give you the 10-minute version of what Chris actually really concisely summed up in about 30 seconds. So my wife and I grew up in the Atlanta suburbs. I grew up in Cobb County. She grew up in Roswell. We're both preacher's kids, and we dated through high school, got engaged really young, like 19 young. And when we were 18, we were both kind of trying to find a church community that we could call home. I grew up in a charismatic church plant that met in a gym that was underneath a Marshall's off of Barrett Parkway. And my wife grew up at North Point Church, so like polar opposite experiences. And so we kind of thought, where could we find a community we could call home? And had some friends that went to a church that it was just 2 years old at the time, called Trinity Vineyard. And Trinity's kind of cool now, but it was really cool then. And as a few suburban kids wanting to be cool, we really liked Trinity. It was a little adventurous because West Midtown wasn't a thing then. And so coming to church meant you weren't sure if your car would be there when you got out of church. And so it was cool and it was adventurous, and we kind of just jumped in. It was really wonderful. And what we also found was this beautifully authentic Christian community. As Chris said, maybe didn't know what they were doing, but they deeply loved Jesus and wanted to model that in sincere and authentic ways that we were really drawn to. And so we moved into the city, moved into this part of town, and lived here for several years. But increasingly, kind of since this call to vocational ministry, to live out a Christian calling in ministry full time. And at that time, the only real imagination we had for that, given our backgrounds, was to go into international missions work. which is a holy and beautiful calling, but for us was kind of the only category we really had of sincere, kind of truly devoted lifelong service. And so we pursued an international missions agency and raised funds and went into that. And it was actually going into that that I sat at Octane when you could still get parking spots at Octane, and sat with Chris, and we sat there and talked, and he kind of looked him in the eyes and he said, "This is great that you're doing this. But you have to promise me one thing. You have to promise that you'll come back." Because he said, "I see people leave all the time and they lose their roots and their sense of place and they just kind of get lost." And I said, "Sure." Not really knowing what that would look like, but you don't really say, "No, no, I'm not going to." And so we said yes. But then we went off, and it was really interesting. We spent this year abroad in England and in China and other parts of Southeast Asia. But we were doing all this missions training in England. And I kept finding myself inexplicably drawn to these little parish churches all around England and would visit them on Sundays, kind of slip away from our missions training center. And was just taken by the way these church communities were embedded in a neighborhood, the way in which these really ancient Christian churches, these Christian communities for hundreds and hundreds of years had lived as Christians together in community with one another and loved the liturgy, loved the sense of rootedness, but also many of these kind of what we would call three streams worship. They embodied it really beautifully, this openness to the Spirit, this centrality of the Scriptures, but this ancient rootedness all together. And came to learn this was called the Church of England, which I learned in England was kind of a big deal. It was a thing. And learned that it was an even bigger deal around the world called Anglicanism, which was the way the Church of England had kind of grown as a family around the world. And we're overseas, having sold our house here in the city, living ready to go kind of indefinitely abroad, and kept feeling ourselves inexplicably drawn to serving in really localized ways. And it kind of messed our categories up significantly. And so we kind of pushed the pause button and said, we need to kind of deal with this and really see what has God up to. I think he's maybe redirecting our story a bit. And what I think he was doing now looking back was giving us an imagination for being a pastor in a local community in a way that was just as faithful and just as intentional as this other call we had envisioned. And actually was the particular call that he had for us and for our life. And so went to seminary in Vancouver because we didn't have kids, and you do that sort of thing. You just kind of up and move to places like that. And we did. And it was wonderful, and had our first child there. And it was really in Vancouver that I would say we learned what it means to be pastors and to be rooted in a place. We went for the seminary, but ended up working at this little neighborhood church that really changed our lives and gave us not just imagination, but an experience of what local church ministry looked like. We were wrapping up our time there after about 3 years and really wanted to move back to the States. And I remember talking to Chris, and this is a story for another time, but Trinity Vineyard by that point had become Trinity Anglican. And we kind of had found ourselves, having once kind of walked on these parallel lines, now very much in the same family. And so Chris said, "Well, why don't you talk to our bishop, who's kind of the pastor over our church community?" And he said, "Why don't you talk to our bishop and I'll introduce you and see where that leads." And that actually led to us moving to Florida for 4 years through that relational connection. It's really interesting. As Chris said, we've lived in Florida and Texas, and I kid you not, as we were finishing seminary, thinking and praying, where is God calling us? I told my wife, I said, the two places I never in my life would want to live are Florida and Texas. And it's where we've spent the last 8 years. And so we did. We went to Florida for 4 years, again, worked at a church there that just was like family to us. And again, gave us just an imagination for what it's like to be rooted in a place. And after about 4 years there, a friend of mine who I'd worked with there invited me to come and work with him in Dallas, north of Dallas in a town called Plano, where we'd been the last 3 years, and was really a chance to grow as a leader, not just what does it mean to be a pastor, but what does it mean to help other people discover their vocation and their sense of calling and mission. And so it was a really wonderful time there as well. It was the kind of job that's kind of a terminal job. It's a career job. I was in a job that people twice my age could have just as easily held. And the kind of jobs you don't leave, like you kind of work your way to get these kinds of jobs and then you kind of lay deep roots and stay put. And in some ways we could have done that, but about 18 months before we moved here, as Chris mentioned in passing, my wife was here visiting family and came to I think it was a Christmas pageant for the kids here at Trinity, and she bumped into Chris, and even in her, something was kind of stirred, like maybe there was something to that. that interaction. And so came back and processed that with me. I'm a very deliberative, kind of measured person. And so, it took me 6 months to even have a category for a conversation like that. But it was interesting. And around the same time, our church in Texas and Trinity here was a part of the same regional grouping of churches. And they had a conference in San Francisco. And who wouldn't want to go spend a few days in San Francisco listening to Jamie Smith teach, who wrote that book, You Are What You Love, which we've mentioned many times here, like a wonderful way to spend a week. And our church at the same weekend was having a guy named Gary Haugenen to speak, who's the head of the International Justice Mission. And I drew the short straw, and I had to stay and be the clergy kind of host for Gary that weekend while everyone else went off to San Francisco. And I was very upset about this, as you might imagine. And yet it ended up being one of the most impacting weekends of my life in Texas, because he came to speak to our church about mission and really the mission of God and what God's doing in the world. And he opened his talk, and within the first minute or two, he's sitting there and he says, I've found that the church in America is addicted to safety. And he says, we spend so much time preserving and pursuing our safety that we never create spaces where God has to show up. And it hit me like a wave just crashing over me, because I realized it's exactly what I'd been clinging to so hard. And for about 6 months at that point, Chris and I had kind of started this conversation where he, as he's prone to do, plants little seeds of ideas like, do you think God might be calling you back to Atlanta for something new, for an adventure, or to pioneer a new work? And the combination of that ongoing conversation with this talk that weekend that I had thought I was meant to be in California having a great time actually really was a formative moment for me. And I said, I think God's calling me to let go of what is very secure and safe, to enter into a place that if he doesn't show up, it's futile. And so that's kind of how we've ended up here today. And so we moved here right around a year ago. Around the time those conversations were going on, Gareth was retiring and kind of shifted from this conversation of would you come in from day one, really be open to pioneering a new work, to saying we have some staff needs. Would you consider coming on our staff for a season to help kind of fill a staff position in this interim period, which was really a gift to us to re-enter a place like Atlanta. By that point, we'd been away over 10 years, which is a long time. It's a long time to be away. I think of T.S. Eliot. He has a poem where I'm going to butcher his prose, but he essentially says that the end of all of our adventuring is to return to where you begin, and you see it as though for the first time. And I think for us, the last year has been kind of returning to where we began and learning to see it with new eyes and to see it as though for the first time. And so for us, this is really exciting. I say all of that to say this isn't like Ashley and Matthew concocted this great plan, and so I decided last week to plant a church. This is the fulfillment of years of prayer and years of, I think, a story God's telling. And what I've just said is kind of my and my family's part in this story, but it's one of many stories. And I think one of the things we say around here that I love is that God tells long stories, and we don't want all of our God's stories to be 10, 15 years old. And so I'm convinced in some way, shape, or form, this particular part of my story is aligning and being interwoven with what God's doing at Trinity. But I think I'm not alone in that. And as we talk about what God's doing here in our city, I would ask you to pray as well and to say, are there places and ways God might be asking you to step into places that require him to show up?
Yeah, I just, Matt's going to come up and do what Matt does, which is give you all the information that we neglected to give you. And yet, it feels important to say, like, what they won't say is that we have watched both of these men make sacrifices, that are like of the good and Christian kind, you know, like nobody's up here. I think if the Lord were here to say as an exemplary hero, because you left a job and you left your dream of church planting and, you know, like I'm stepping back into this role, like we're just doing our level best to follow Jesus. But what Tripp is saying is so true. Like we can't call you into mission and to taking risks if we're not willing to do it ourselves. And, I have watched both of these men so faithfully choose to do that in a way that has been such an encouragement to me, as a Christian, not just as a pastor in this church, but as a person of faith, to watch people next to you say, I'd rather be with the Lord on mission than in this terminal job. I'd rather be where God's called me than to like have my own thing, you know? people don't always say that or make those choices. And so to be able to stand in the company of people who are doing it, I say that because as a member of this church, if I were you, I would want to know that those are the people that I'm serving the Lord alongside. And it's true of them. So thanks be to God for what he's doing, you know.
Thank you guys for all being here tonight. And yeah, let you guys sit down for a second. In just a couple minutes, I want to invite us all to come and pray for each of them as they enter into this next season. The couple comments I would make, just to kind of tie things up, just to give nod to kind of the timeline of how things have happened, but not just for logistics, but to speak to the way, I guess the way my eyes see pieces of God's story throughout the last number of months. As a leadership team, making big changes like this is not something we take lightly, especially for, I'm guessing most of you are from the west side here. I know a few of you probably from the east side, but we've had this conversation on the east side over the last week where we had a special meeting on Wednesday night last week and then addressed it again yesterday morning and evening in the services. Appropriately so. I'm, you know, changing your senior leadership, pastoral leadership is a big deal. So we took that thoughtfully and prayerfully, saying, Lord, help us to discern. And as Ashley gave voice to that, basically what happened was as Matthew entered in the church planting residency in June, and as Tripp had moved here in April and May and taken his role, our expectation was Matthew's going to be planting out a church during this year, probably the latter half of this year. And it really wasn't until, I guess, October when we approached Matthew as a leadership team saying, we really are curious, but we're not sure. So we're going to ask for confirmation from the Holy Spirit through the process of first asking Matthew and Rebecca to discern that. Gave them a three-month window to say, let's use the need for an associate pastor that we had on the east side as a space to allow him to focus his residency over there so he could be in that congregation, and that could inform the discernment process. And Matthew agreed with us to say, we need to let Tripp in on and Rachel in on this conversation that very, very well may affect them, or maybe it won't. Their timeline still might have been a year or two out. As we were discerning it. So I guess I say those things to say that's how it worked, but it's also where each of these three individuals paramountly, but others held this in kind of tension in that awkward place. And just to give credit to them for being willing to submit to the Lord and to a process and give voice to the fact that the Lord really has been faithful, not just in the practical pieces of kind of the decisions that have been made and kind of come to light. But I think even just seeing him work in those spaces personally with what does it look like to sit with unknowing and waiting and being interdependent in a sense on each other, that's been part of the process. So we're super excited about what is to come, but that is still yet to unfold. We're kind of bringing you guys up to date as a membership gathered here tonight, and then with the recording that'll go out to the larger membership, wanted to do this in kind of short order. So that's the reason for the last minute notice. Stuff like this matters to get it out in kind of its thorough sense, especially for the east side. So thank you for making space to be here tonight. Our hope and desire as Ashley comes back from maternity leave in the fall is that it's not hope and desire, this is what's going to happen. Before that, Matthew and Ashley will be transitioning the leadership team leading over the next 2 to 3 months until May when the baby comes. And Matthew will be fully in place as the Eastside Parish pastor. There'll be probably some events or evenings where we celebrate both of those things and the substantial transitions that those are. And then as Ashley comes back from maternity leave in August, September, she'll presume the education pastor role, and Tripp will take on the church planner residence role. We hope in the next couple of months to have, we're not going to wait on those conversations until September. We're going to be starting to have those about what part of town, what does this look like? Is this a parish or is it an autonomous plant? We have strong inclinations to suspect it's probably a parish and that it may be in kind of the northeast corridor of the in-town area. But I say those things to you as a membership prayerfully to ask you to to pray with us in that regard. Those are not set in stone, but we'll be working towards that with kind of an eye towards 2019, maybe springtime of next year, of when a church plant would go out in terms of weekly services. So for those of you that have been around for a while, you remember with the East Side, it was kind of an experiment, and Lord help us figure it out. We thought it would be an evening service parish to start with in a home of another church that's already meeting. And then the space popped up and we could rent it 24/7. It turned into what it is, giving voice to, it may not look like that, but just the kind of process of Lord help guide us along the way. So that's kind of letting you guys into the process. We've heard from the three of them in terms of their individual stories. But the reason we're talking about this here is because this is our story. This is affecting us as pastors and leaders in our community. And I would love if you guys could stand and pray with us now. I'm going to invite each of you three, if you could spread out along the front, and if we could just have come up and gather around each of the three of them, lay hands on them, and I'll close in prayer. But if you would, just come on up and if you guys spread out, and let's just pray for them over the months ahead and the next year that the Lord's will be done for Ashley and Matthew and Tripp and their families. All right, let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the reality that you tell long stories. We thank you for the fact that they don't always have to be in straight lines. They're not usually in straight lines. But along the way, you teach us and guide us. You show us more of your character. You shape us into the people that you want us to be. And you invite us into those processes, not just as individuals, but as weaving together different communities, friendships and relationships and families. So we pray, first of all, for Ashley as she walks through these weeks ahead, as she's already stewarded what's been a weighty thing in terms of communicating with the people that love her and look to her as their pastor, the change that's happening. Would you continue to give her the grace that she needs for each day, for the moments that she encounters, both with interacting with others and as their pastor and leader, but also the moments that she has with you. Pray that you would guard her and her household, give them health and strength, the baby that's growing. I pray as there is space and it's appropriate that you would continue to grow the vision for what's next inside of her and give her eyes to see your perspective, that you would grow that inside of her and feed her through that too, that you're allowing her to do what she loves in so many different ways, but in this new season ahead. We trust you, Lord. For Matthew, we ask for Matthew and Rebecca and their four kids in Roswell, all of the kind of suddenly long to-do list, but in a pretty short period of time. As Matthew finishes his MDiv in the next 3 months, while moving into this role, while looking to move from Roswell and schooling and all of that goes with that with kids, we ask for your grace to be obvious and abundant to them each and every day, as we know that it is through your promises. Would you guard their family with health? Would you give them wisdom for the decisions that have to be made? Pray that you would continue to knit and build on the foundation that's already started. Knit the hearts of the East Siders and Matthew together. Pray for your will to be done and your kingdom to come in the months and the years ahead. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Matthew and Rebecca to us. And Lord, for Tripp and Rachel, many of the same dynamics involved of sitting in the place in the last year or really even more than that of wondering what's next and having senses about it, but having to sit in that in-between place. Would you continue to steady them each day and each week? thank you so much for the goodness that you've shown to them and to us over the last year as Tripp has entered in here and helped to grow new things in pastoral care and in Alpha. And really even in the last number of weeks, I think found his voice in a new way, knitted to us here in this community, in the West Side and the East Side. Lord, continue to grow the vision that you have for him that none of us even know about yet. There's pieces of it. But we ask for your wisdom and your guidance. We ask for your will to be done. We ask for us not to get in the way, but to have eyes to see who is to be involved in that plant, where it's supposed to be, what it's supposed to look like, the timing of it. Lord, I pray that I just want to thank you for the goodness that's come about through this process. Thank you for sending us Tripp and for Matthew here into this community. Two men that we couldn't have imagined would have ended up having stories and starting to unfold like this 2 years ago or even a year ago. We bless these men. We bless Ashley. We acknowledge that you are our Lord. You are our leader of this outpost of your church here in Atlanta. And all these things we lift up to you and acknowledge your sovereignty over us. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, guys. That is our meeting for tonight. Thank you so much for coming out.